listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Tuesday episode. Good one for you. We're going to talk a little bit more about Jen's date on Sunday. A couple things I didn't bring up, and I'm going to read you actually what the article said that I read. That didn't have to do with Sunday's date, but had to do with a previous one-on-one date that I mentioned she had earlier in the season on yesterday's podcast. Also going to talk about the one-year anniversary yesterday of the announcement that Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn broke up. Very important stuff. We're going to talk about Tori Spelling addressing the fact that she hangs out with Dean McDermott and his new girlfriend. They have dinners together. We're also going to get some responses to yesterday's question at the end of the podcast about wearing flip-flops on the airplane. I got both sides of it, so we'll share those. And we'll get to all that momentarily. Wanted to start with this. Didn't even bring this up yesterday, even though I knew it was a thing. The solar eclipse. It happened yesterday. For me, happened at about 1:43 in the afternoon. The moon covered up the sun for 3 minutes. It went dark, and then it was light again. I don't understand the fascination with this. And I only say that because this happened in 2017. Or maybe it was 2016. But this same exact thing with the glasses and don't look at the sun. We had this same exact thing happen like 8 years ago. Now, apparently it's not supposed to happen for a long time again. And maybe this one was a little more covered. The moon covered the sun a little bit more this time. I don't really know, but it was essentially the same thing. Like, it was sunny out in the afternoon, and then it started getting real dark, and then it literally got dark like it was nighttime for 2 or 3 minutes. Then it was light again. And I read all these stories that 400,000 people came to the Dallas-Fort Worth area to see this. And I know it's something that doesn't happen, but we can't call it a once-in-a-lifetime happening because it's happened twice in the last 8 years. So certainly not once-in-a-lifetime. I've seen it twice now. And I don't understand the hype. Like, if it was something that lasted all day, I don't know. I don't get the hype behind, hey, it's sunny out, now it's dark in the middle of the day, and it's back to sun 3 minutes later. I guess maybe if you're into space or something, I don't know. I went outside. I had a pair of glasses that were given to me by somebody. My brother-in-law had an extra pair of glasses. Okay, put the glasses on. I looked. Oh, look. It's a black dot covering the sun. Okay. My whole thing is, if this was happening only in, I don't know, Louisiana, which is a state that borders Texas, would I drive there to go see this? I would rather literally poke my eyeballs out. Like, that's the part I don't understand. Is, I understand if you live here and it was part of your day yesterday, oh, walk outside, you look, okay, great. But the idea of, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth shutting things down, people taking work off, the notion that people are coming in from out of town who wouldn't be able to see it as well as we did, you can't convince me that this is worthwhile. And if you took off a work day, which, look, everybody's entitled to do whatever they want, but I'm sorry, I just don't get it. To me, and I'm going to compare it to something else that I believe I've talked about in the past, and that's fireworks shows. It's not that I'm not patriotic. I'm just talking about the specific show itself, not what it represents, the show itself. Every single fireworks show I've ever seen is exactly the same. You start out with a few and here and there, and then it just, you know, all comes together at the end when you fire off a bunch of them at one time. It's like, great. I'm way more impressed by those drone shows, like the one we saw on The Bachelor last season with Joey. I can't remember who had the drone date, but that's way cooler to me than a fireworks show. And to me, this is the equivalent of a fireworks show. lasted a little bit less. Fireworks shows are what, 5, 10 minutes, maybe 15? This lasted 3 minutes, and there was nothing about it other than it's light, it's dark, it's light again. Bye. I'll never understand it. But as far as I know, I don't think another one's happening for over 100 years, so I won't be around to complain about the next one. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Jen's date on Sunday, the male stripper review date. One thing that I didn't mention in yesterday's podcast, forgot to totally mention this. There was somebody who won the date based on the judges and Jen's judging of it, because they didn't really do anything. It was, you know, come out on stage. They all had a stripper name that they had to come up with. And I don't know what any of those names were, but we'll hear it on the show. And Jonathan Johnson was the one that ended up winning. He got extra time with Jen. Doesn't mean he got the group date rose later on that night. Just means he got extra time. Kind of like, remember the Barbie date last year during charity season when Sean ended up winning and they got extra time and they walked over to the pier? Basically, I think it was something like that. He got extra time right after that event, but he did not get extra time. That maybe he ended up getting the group date rose, but him winning the male stripper review show was not the guarantee of a rose. So he won it, as I told you. Both Johns were on it. Well, there's a John and a Jonathan. Both Sams were on it, and both Thomases were on it. And I mentioned that Sam Najad was the one who went last of the 10 men on the date yesterday. He went last, and he did not strip, and he asked for his music to be shut off, and he told Jen that he was falling in love with her. He said, I want to be vulnerable, I want him falling in love with you. And obviously that was put on, told to him, for him to say by production, and he went along with it, and that's going to be his storyline. But as I told you, on Tuesday during the comedy show date, Sam Najad was on that comedy show date, and the other guys were roasting him, calling him the Persian virgin. So I'm assuming that's his storyline. It now makes sense as to why he was the only one of the 10 guys who basically didn't participate in what you were supposed to do, which was basically strip, get down into your boxers or your briefs or a thong like Devin did. And Sam went the other route and told her that he was falling in love with her. So expect that storyline. Now, what I also told you was at some point earlier this season, last week, there was a one-on-one date, and it was a skydiving date. And that skydiving date, after they landed in St. Kilda, they were seen walking around Elwood's Point Ormond Lookout, or Point Ormond Hill. And this was a clipping from a paper on Saturday in Australia. It said, Elwood's Point Ormond Hill is normally a mecca for tourist buses at sunset, but there was more than usual activity this week, with U.S. film crew and entourage also capturing the picture-perfect moment. Turns out, it was the first Asian-American U.S. bachelorette, Jen Tran, taking one of her suitors out for a romantic stroll and a kiss. The U.S. love reality show is now in its 21st season and has headed overseas, with Tran and her rose potentials visiting Melbourne hotspots. I really wish, number one, that paper would have taken a picture of Jen on this date so we could at least identify who she was on a one-on-one date with, or maybe somehow get the name of this guy. But that's the thing. I don't know who this guy was that was on the one-on-one date, because the paper didn't identify him and there hasn't been any pictures that have gotten out. And what did I tell you when I said, look, they're doing one night at the mansion and then they're immediately going overseas to Australia. And once they go overseas, it is hit or miss every season. Sometimes pictures and videos get out. Sometimes they don't. They have been there basically ever since March 31st. It's probably when they got there. Maybe it was, depending on if they left the next day. The first limo entrances were on March 28th. So if they left on the 29th, they arrived on the 31st of March, Australia time, because they're jumping ahead. At that point, it would have been 17 hours, 18 hours. But maybe they left. Maybe they didn't move on Friday. They didn't fly out on Friday. Maybe they flew out on Saturday. We don't know the exact days. But basically, they've been there almost 10 days now, and not one video or photo has gotten out. And there had to have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's been 6 dates You know, because we've gotten through two episodes now in Australia and not one picture or video has gotten out. And I say it every year, like we just never know. But the good thing is they're coming back to the States on April 21st. They will be back in the States. And that's the first date in a U.S. city for that particular U.S. city. I don't know if they're going to be in a U.S. city before that, but they're going to be back April 21st, which means I think we're probably going to get pictures and or videos then, because I can't remember one time where they were ever in a U.S. city and pictures didn't get out or videos or both. So we'll keep you updated on that. Today on the podcast, I am showing the written version of what I've said about Jen's season. That'll be up in a couple hours on realitysteve.com. So if you haven't been listening to the podcast or you forget what I say in the podcast, you can just go to the website. This podcast is brought to you by Way. Ladies, does your hair frizz? I know it does, especially during the summer. You're too busy to be frizzy, damn it. Grab Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I'm telling you, it'll help you save time during your daily routine of getting ready. You can even do a get ready with me and include the Way's new anti-frizz cream in it if you'd like. It provides immediate frizz control. Excuse me. That lasts up to 72 hours, plus heat protection up to 450 degrees. It helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching dry hair with intense hydration. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway.com, that's theouai.com, and enter promo code REALITYSTEVE for 15% off any product. That's theway.com, theouai.com, promo code REALITYSTEVE for 15% off any product. As I mentioned in the open, yesterday was the one-year anniversary we found out that Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn had broken up. And at the time, she had pretty much just started her Eras tour. She was about 3.5 weeks in. It was basically the week after I saw her, because I saw her March 31st of 2023 in Dallas. And it came out about a week later. And everyone was just like, holy crap, what is she going to do? You know, and then everyone was analyzing the songs and if she would be more sad singing certain songs the rest of the tour and whatnot. And then in the summer, the Travis Kelce stuff started. So at the time, we didn't know very much, because for the 6 years that Taylor and Joe were together, really the only time we ever saw them was when a paparazzi photo got them like walking out of somewhere, or they were loading into a car. Like, they just were not a public couple whatsoever. And then when the Travis stuff started, you knew what my take was. I was just like, I just don't see it. These two aren't getting married. I'm here to say this. I'm not going to say that I know they're getting married, but I will admit it's a lot more serious than I thought it ever was. Because when we first saw this in September and she was going to the games and overreacting to him catching a 7-yard out pattern in game 3 of the season, you know, I was like, okay, let's tap the brakes here. But I'm more interested in, of course, if he has a game and she doesn't have a concert, I fully expected her to attend his games. I'm more interested in them as a couple when they go out and do stuff when it's he doesn't have a game. And the fact that he's gone overseas 2 different times now to watch her perform. And he's apparently going again once she picks up her tour in a couple weeks. Or at the in beginning of May. He's going to go see her again on her international tour. And, you know, I think that's expected as well. Because if she did it for him and he never went to any of hers, granted, that'd be a huge red flag. Now, like I said, I don't necessarily mean like, oh my God, they're soulmates, they're getting married. But considering the way this relationship is so much different, and the way she's handled this relationship is so much different than any other one. It's a different type of guy. She's never dated an athlete before. It's always been DJs or musicians or actors or artsy-fartsy guys. And now she's dating literally a guy that people look at as a meathead, but he's very popular. And the one thing that we did hear was you know, the rumors, and I have no idea if these rumors are true, but you hear stuff, and it makes sense to me because we've seen it a lot in Hollywood where one part of the couple is significantly more popular than the other person, and it's very hard for that relationship to last. And the rumors are that Joe couldn't handle her popularity, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying if that is the real reason that they broke up, it makes perfect sense to me. I totally get that. But my thing is, maybe she just did a 180 on how she wanted to do relationships. Because every other relationship she had, it was like, oh my God, I'm Taylor Swift. I got to be so private. I don't want to put myself out there. Now, the fact that she's going to games, walking through stadiums with him, going to Coachella with him, going out to New York dinners and, you know, kind of being seen, maybe this was her change and she's trying this and it seems to be working. And maybe she needed to be with somebody that, while she did date people that were popular, Calvin Harris was popular, Tom Hiddleston was popular, Jake Gyllenhaal was popular. I wouldn't say those people generate the type of popularity that Travis Kelce does. And Travis Kelce is very outspoken and they're just enjoying each other's company, and we're coming up on a year, and that's longer than I thought they would make. So I'm cheering them on. I'm still not going to be like, oh, they are endgame, they are so getting married and all this stuff. Let's just still lay low a little bit, but it's definitely more serious than I was giving it back in September when she attended that first game, which was Chiefs Bears. So I will give them credit. And I really like the way that she has basically kind of changed the way she's dated with him. And she has just done things differently, because all those other times and the way she had to keep everything so private, maybe that was her not wanting to deal with things. And now she's just like, F it. I don't care. I like this guy. I want people to know I like this guy. I don't need to hide it. No. Are they going to go, when they go to Coachella, are they just going to sit there with the rest of the crowd? Of course not. They still are going to be very, very guarded. But just the fact that she's going to Coachella with her boyfriend, I think that's a really big deal. Along with plenty of the other things that she has done with him. So, congratulations to Taylor. Tori Spelling's new podcast that comes out every Monday is called Misspelling. She had an update on her latest podcast yesterday where she said, yeah, Dean has a new girlfriend and I hang out with them. And I'm like, what? Is my screen frozen here? I think it is. Anyway, she doesn't know what to call Dean because apparently Dean is, you know, as her ex-husband, she's like, what do I call him? I haven't called him Dean in 18 years. I call him Babe all the time. I can't call him Babe. He's got a new woman. But she said, I can call him my ex-husband now. Estranged husband. I still say Babe. I always called him Babe. Like, I say Babe in front of his girlfriend. And I'm like, what am I supposed to call him? Dean? I have not called him Dean in 18 years. It's so weird. I guess when I get a boyfriend or someone else that I call Babe, I guess I'll stop calling him Babe. You know, that is a good question. What should she call him? Babe sounds weird. Hey, Dean, when you've never called him Dean, you never called him by his name in 18 years, now you got to change it? I don't know. Tori Spelling, great point. The good thing is they're co-parenting well right now, according to her. The kids are seeing him again. For the longest time, they didn't. Once she moved out and they got their divorce, which was filed last June, she said basically the kids never saw him because he had to go to rehab and all that stuff. The kids are happy with him. They're proud of him for his rehab. They like his girlfriend. Like, seems to be working out for her. And I think it's cool that she's sharing all this stuff on her podcast. Because, frankly, I don't know how many people would be interested in a Tori Spelling solo podcast if she wasn't talking about her personal life. You know, she's already got the 90210 OMG podcast that is god-awful in the minutes that I've heard of it. So this, it seems like this is almost more up her alley. So Good for her. And finally, some of your responses yesterday to my plain etiquette flip-flop story, where I said I keep seeing stuff on my For You page on TikTok of people saying that is such an ick, wearing flip-flops on a plane. It's basically like, why don't you just go shoeless and sockless? What's the point? I'm like, well, I think it's definitely different. Getting on a plane and taking off your shoes and socks is way different, I think, than wearing flip-flops. There was one that came to me that I thought was interesting. A former flight attendant emailed me and said, hey, don't wear flip-flops in case of an evacuation. And I said, okay, totally understandable. But with how many flights happen per day in the United States and how many flights I've been on in my life, none of which is easily over 100 flights, probably close to 200, and I've never had an evacuation, not to mention the percentage of evacuations in relation to how many flights happen a day, we're looking at a minuscule number, one millionth of a percentage point. I don't know. Probably aren't a lot of evacuations. So I get it, though, but I don't know if, hey, what if there's an evacuation and you have flip-flops on, would be the reason I wouldn't wear flip-flops. I was saying yesterday, my whole thing about flip-flops was I didn't know that this was an ick, and I didn't know people looked at it as disgusting, you know? So the people outside of that ex-flight attendant who did email me yesterday said, no, this isn't a thing. This is just people complaining about stuff on the internet again. And I said, oh, okay. However, there's still something in the back of my mind that's like, I don't need to wear flip-flops on a plane. I guess it all depends on how much of a hurry I'm in to get to the airport. But thank you for all the responses yesterday, because I really didn't know. I thought what I was seeing on TikTok was really a thing. And people are really outraged by people who wear flip-flops on the plane. And apparently, it's just a select few, and it's almost like it's just the angry police on the internet that have to complain about something, and now this is like the new thing to complain about. And I'm like, huh, okay. You know, there was one other one, maybe two other emails that were like, no, you definitely shouldn't wear them on a plane. It's not great hygiene or whatever. But most of, I would say 90% of the emails I did get were like, this isn't a thing. Go ahead and wear flip-flops. So anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also rate and review. But you got to hit play. Does not count anymore as a download if it just shows up in your feed every morning. Please hit play. If you miss a day, go back and hit play. That's the best way you can support this podcast, as well as using my code for any ads that I give you during the podcast. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. We go over the UConn-Purdue National Championship game last night. And we'll be back tomorrow with yet another podcast. So thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. And I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.